Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to the Friday show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Of course, the Super Bowl is coming up this weekend. You can stock up and get ready for the Super Bowl and all those annoying people that don't watch football on a regular basis that will be at your home. Don't forget, you can go over to the beverage supermarket. That is Brewers Outlet to pick up beverages, and they have plenty. And on top of that, they also have plenty of snacks, and the pickle bar also open. Hilsher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsher's General Store. Go to www.hilsherstore.com, located Susquehanna Trail, just 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. And also, we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll have a lot of talk about the Super Bowl as the Niners get ready for the Ravens. We'll talk about that. But also tonight, the Penn State men's ice hockey team will be back in action. And they're going to have a split weekend with Ohio University because they're going to play at the Giant Center in Hershey tonight at 7. Then 7:30 tomorrow night, they'll be at Greenberg to close out the two-game weekend series with Ohio University. So 7 o'clock tonight at the Giant Center. We'll talk to the Associate Athletic Director of Penn State Men's Ice Hockey, Joe Batista. Progress on Pegula, progress with the program, and also what it will look like with a Big Ten conference next year when it comes to ice hockey scheduling. Before we get to that, let's go to Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Brewers Outlet Sunbury's your beverage supermarket for this Sunday's big game. Pick your favorite Bud and Bud Light 30-pack cans or Bud Platinum 24 12-ounce bottles, just $19.95. Bud Light Lime 24 7-ounce bottles, $14.95. Many flavors of Smirnoff Coolers, $25.99. And try the new Black Crown, Batch 19, Goose Island, and Beck Sapphire. Grab a 3-pounder of Martin's Chips, $5.99. Don't forget the fresh roasted peanuts. And you've got to stop at the Pickle Bar at Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket. Supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
I'm Samurai Mike, I shop them cold. Part of the defense, big and bold. I've been jamming for quite a while, doing what's right and setting the style. Give me a chance, I'll rock you good. Nobody messing in my neighborhood. I didn't come here looking for trouble. I just came to do the Super Bowl shuffle. We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio again here in just a few moments. Memories from the Super Bowl shuffle from the Bears. Nobody's done that in the last 20-some years, almost 30. Is it? I guess it is almost 30 years now. And you would think that, you know, the focus would have been off of football, but it didn't seem to cause them a problem whatsoever when it came to the big game itself. Of course, a big game coming up this weekend. We'll take a look at things like that throughout the afternoon here on the Steve Jones Show. Also available online, just visit us at stevejonesshow.com for a podcast. If you click
exactly
on podcast,
why are we going to be looking back at stuff like that?
I didn't say we'd be looking back at stuff like that. I said we'll be looking at the Super Bowl. I didn't say we'd be looking back at the Super Bowl.
We can't do the show the way you want.
I didn't say looking
the
back.
The way you want to do the show is to take it to... like sports.
Did you go to the doctors today to have your hearing checked? because I don't think
I did. And you said we're going to be looking back on stuff like that. That was your quote.
I don't think I was referring.
That was your quote.
I don't think I was referring to the Super Bowl shuffle.
That is garbage. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to do something today. We will talk about the Super Bowl. Realize that there's going to be approximately $100 million bet on the coin toss.
And a pizza.
No. I know the Papa John's promotion. I understand that. Okay, I got that. But they're going to be doing $100 million will be bet on the coin toss. Okay, now guess which side of the coin has actually come up more in the first 46 Super Bowls?
Heads.
Nope.
It is. That would make it tails.
Nope. 23-23.
Really? It's down the middle.
Yep.
Well, I honestly would not have guessed that. I figured I had a 50-50 chance.
And once again,
I figured I had a 50-50 chance.
Yeah. Once again.
Son of a gun.
Now, I want to talk about two of the biggest stories of this winter sports season in central Pennsylvania. And the two biggest stories, one is of its infancy, and the other is of its establishment. And that's where we're going, or at least part of it. Infancy is the incredible success of the Penn State men's ice hockey program. In the last 5 weeks, they've gone to Consol Energy, drew almost 11,000, beat Ohio State. Fargo, playing before 19,000 and beat Vermont. This weekend, they went to Munn and beat Michigan State. Tonight, they play at the Giant Center at 7 in Hershey against Ohio University. So, in the next half hour, we'll have Joe Battista, the Associate Athletic Director for Penn State Men's Hockey, who will join me here in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Then we're going to follow it up with establishment wrestling. Penn State wrestling might not in wrestling, but might be at the moment the most dominant pro sports. Women's volleyball with four straight national championships, without question, had that title during their great run. Tonight they wrestle at Iowa, 9 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. We're going to go to Coralville to talk with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. Then in the last half hour, we'll go to what Kevin wants to talk about.
But what do I want to talk about? Because I think I'm looking forward to wrestling tonight.
I'm sure there's something at FanFest that you find intriguing.
Okay, there was one thing, but it has nothing to do with FanFest. Actually, two things. The Hall of Fame ballot. The Hall of Fame ballot, which will be announced tomorrow evening.
That's legit.
And Roger Goodell's comment on the state of the game.
Okay, what did he say about this inherit? Well, I've been busy working.
The big thing is number one issue, taking the head out of tackles.
Well, I think he's right about that. Look, the Bernard Pollard play where Ridley fumbles the ball, okay, is a legitimate call on helmet to helmet because he's not a defenseless player. But it is fundamentally an awful play by Bernard Pollard. He has no fundamentals as to how he plays the game. None. Zip, zilch. I mean, you tackle like that, I would take you off the field.
Well, his comment was
he's not a fundamentally sound player.
Goodell's comment was that they've made progress the last couple of years in eliminating helmet-to-helmet hits, and players need to get back to using their shoulders and arms. I agree with that. I agree with players need to get back to using their shoulders and arms.
Yes, they do.
That's great. I'm all for that. But to say in the last couple of years they've made great progress in eliminating helmet-to-helmet hits, I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that. I agree with him and not with you.
Limiting it, but not eliminating it.
Right, right. They've limited it, but see, you have to remember, there's also incredible focus on it, so we're seeing it more.
Right. I definitely agree with that.
But they've made great progress, but they're far from done. They have to get that part out of the game.
However, one thing you did say that I did agree with, and something we've talked about here on this program many times, it may be because of better helmets and face masks that have led to more players leading with their helmets and taking that risk.
I agree with that.
But I still...
But you have to use... You have to wrap up, and you have to tackle by wrapping up.
I still have a big, big problem with the
play the Pollard makes on Ridley's terrible.
Well, it is. It is. But I still have a big problem with the penalty phase of this. The penalty after the fact and the penalty on the field. The fine penalty, that even if it isn't flagged on the field, and the fact that you have a flag on the field.
Guess what? You want to know what you want to make the penalty? Make it 25 yards.
But what if you get a call that isn't helmet-to-helmet, though? That's my problem, Steve. There's been a lot of these that haven't.
Make it 25 yards.
When you look back at it, I understand that. But when you look back at it, the official's making an instant judgment.
Right?
I don't know that.
Make it 25 yards.
Yeah, but you're assuming you're attempting to make the helmet hit.
Oh, stop being James Harrison.
I think there are times that you are not leading with your helmet, and it looks like that, and you get flagged and/or fined, and it's wrong.
I know.
So to make it
25 yards,
you're not gonna get fined
if they look at the tape and you use your shoulder pad. You're not gonna get fined.
Oh well, that's gonna make it all the better in the win loss column. Then when you lose a game because of a 25-yard penalty late in the game,
but if you want to eliminate that kind of play, you make it a 25-yard penalty. Okay? You want to take it out of there? Really make it severe where you sit back and go, I can't really play like that. I can't give up 25 yards.
Then they have to change the interference penalty then, too, at the same time.
Well, the interference penalty should be what the college rule is. Should be 15 yards.
I agree, and I haven't for many, many years, because I think if you interfere on a deep pass, it's because you want to avoid the deep pass being complete.
And I'll be honest with you. In college football, I thought that was going to happen left and right when that rule was put in. And you know what? I've rarely seen it.
And that's where I changed my mind, is the fact that I have not seen it that much at the college level.
Yeah, because you're just trying to defend the play. These guys are going back, not only trying to defend, they're trying to pick the ball off. So that's... I thought we would see a lot of, he beat me. I'm going to grab him. And we haven't seen that. And that rule's been in play since 1984 in college game. That rule is coming up on 30 years old. It'll be the 30th season of college football coming up that has the 15-yard penalty and not spot of the foul.
But you know, going back to the helmet to helmet, you talked about making it a 25-yard penalty.
Yeah, you want to take it out. You make it severe because you better believe everybody's going to look around and say, we're not tackling like that anymore.
Obviously, fining these guys is useless. You know, because it's like getting a $25 parking ticket or a $5 parking ticket. It just doesn't really make that much difference to guys that have multi-million dollar contracts.
Make it 25 yards.
But what happens if it's a penalty on the field, and then after looking at it again, it's not?
It happens, okay? Stop being James Harrison, okay? Stop protecting him. The guy's played dirty for years.
Oh, no, see, I don't agree with that. I've heard that so many
times.
You're
a Steeler fan. You can't do it that many times. If he did it once or twice, fine, but he's done it like 8, 9, 10 dozen times in his career.
Why do we call it intense then? Why do we say he's an aggressive player? He's the kind of...
You can be intense and pancake somebody. You can be intense and pancake a guy. What's the difference in intensity?
I've heard that so many times. Oh, he's a dirty player.
He is.
Hines Ward was a dirty right. Was a dirty player. He held on every. Every time he blocked. I mean, come on.
That's not a dirty player. A dirty player is a guy at crackbacks. Okay, that's a dirty player. A guy, if you think he holds a lot, that's not a dirty player.
No, a dirty player is someone who intentionally tries to take you out of a game.
Gee, and Juwan, and let's Harrison record on that.
You know, I do not see James Harrison intentionally trying to take somebody out of the
protecting game. Protecting your guy, okay? If he played for the Baltimore Ravens, you'd be saying the same thing I said. I have no dog in the hunt.
Did I say Ray was a dirty player? No, I didn't say that at all. I didn't say Ray Lewis was a dirty player.
Ray Lewis is a self-promoting showboat.
Well, he is that.
He is a self-promoting showboat who is maybe the fourth best linebacker in the game, maybe fifth.
I think you're being kind.
Well, there's only six.
Oh, you mean in the Super Bowl? I was thinking in the game of football. That's what I was.
No, in this game. I think the Ravens have the fourth, fifth, and sixth best linebackers in the game.
Which I think is going to be a big problem on Sunday, but that's a whole other topic right now.
That's a big problem.
I just have a problem with the penalty because there have been so many of them that have not been helmet-to-helmet contact that looked that way at full speed.
The vast majority have been, and you know it. Okay? Because these guys don't tackle right. All right?
That's the issue.
Guess what? 25-yard penalty, suddenly you start tackling right. You'd be shocked.
Talk about changing the field.
That's why you put it in. You're trying to eliminate something that is very dangerous. And also from a liability point of view.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, Kevin's having another great show.
All depends on your perspective.
Well,
pretty good from mine.
I'm sure the masses have found you to be entertaining.
25-yard penalty.
I'm saying you put the penalty in, Kevin.
I understand.
To then encourage a different style of play. That's why you put the penalty in.
I'm just thinking of Ed Hockley going helmet-to-helmet contact, 25-yard penalty on the defense.
Okay, but why is a penalty put in? Okay? Most penalties are put in as a safety issue. Okay? I mean, I'm talking about personal foul penalty.
Right.
Crackback. Those are all safety issues. Okay? Where you lose a knee. You lose an ankle, okay, as a possibility, all right? This is a case you're talking about a serious issue in the NFL right now, one that brings with it the possibility of litigation. You make the penalty severe with the idea you're going to change that part of the game. That's why you do it, okay? You can't say 5-yard penalty. What the heck? 15-yard penalty, that's not stopping him now. It's not stopping, you know, Bernard Pollard, who thinks he's a great player, and I wouldn't want him on my team in a million years. The game. He doesn't know how to play. Okay, throws himself around. It's like, he's a great hitter. I don't think he's a great hitter.
But I think there are a lot of tackling issues in the NFL. I mean, if you look at defensive backs, how many defensive backs actually rap?
Not many.
No.
Okay. So, well, we're going to change the topic here for a moment. And we're going to, this half hour, next half hour. And joining me here in the Sunbury Motors Studios, Joe Battista, the Associate Athletic Director for Penn. Month. Joe Ba. What a month. Ohio State. Okay. You beat him at Consol 5-2. 11,000 there. 19,000 Wells Fargo. They beat Vermont 4-2. Then you go to Munn last weekend. They win 3-2 at Michigan State. Tonight you're at the Giants Center. What an incredible 5 weeks, isn't it? Absolutely incredible.
Floating on air. This year has exceeded our expectations. I think if you look at Coach Godowski's 5-year plan. Next year It said, get our first Big Ten win, and we've already got two. And, you know, I think this team, this particular Penn State men's team, boy, do they come to play on the big stage. You know, whether it's been the Rochester in front of 10,000 people when we beat RIT, Wilkes-Barre Scranton in front of 5,200 people when we beat AIC for our first win. Mm-hmm. The game, obviously, at Wells Fargo with 19,000 people was just unbelievable. And then Consol playing in front of over 10,000 two nights in a row and, you know, the getting the win at Munn. I think people have no idea just how big of a step up this is. And
no, I disagree with you there. I think everybody about this. Okay, Penn State's the
we'll get. We aren't the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who went
coming around the state.
Have been they're one of the oldest American hockey and Hershey's tremendous job with the Hershey and it's a great facility for hockey. Mm-hmm. It really is. I still personally like the old Hershey Arena. That was my favorite place to play. And we designed our current student section in Pagoula Ice Arena after the old Hershey Arena. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that is, it's an area, you know, it's obviously we've got tons of Penn State alums in that area, and these are people who we hope are going to venture up to Pagoula Ice Arena on weekends coming into the future. Because, as you know, I mean, with everything that goes on in this area, you can't just fill up the 6,000-seat facilities, whether it's Rec Hall, whether it's Bryce Jordan Center, just in Little Old State College. We need to get people to come in from Johnstown, from Clearfield, from Williamsport, you know, from Hazleton, from Scranton, et cetera. And the fact that we've got built-in hockey markets in Johnstown, Pittsburgh, Hershey, Erie, Reading, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and very soon Allentown mm-hmm. will have a they're getting an 8,000-seat arena. So there's already seven professional hockey teams in the state of Pennsylvania. And if you count the team that's in the Federal League that's playing, I don't know if you're even aware of that, but they're playing on those outdoor games on the baseball field.
At Bowman. Yeah, they're playing at Bowman
yes.
Field.
So yeah. The bottom line is hockey has never been this popular in the state. And from the amateur and high school levels, it's the fastest growing sport, you know, or state for USA Hockey.
Next year will be a 20-game Big Ten schedule. The transition in now, but there's a traditional night. Hockey traditionally is a Friday, Saturday. But look, to make accommodations for TV, this is the big boy world. Schedule will be a little more spread out, I think, than some traditionalists realize. But in order to be on television, you have to do
this.
Okay, I did a game last night that was at 8 o'clock in the evening. I'm doing a game at Nebraska at 9 o'clock. Why? You have to understand now. You're a TV show.
Yeah.
You're filling time slots.
Yeah, and you know what? The Big Ten Network has big plans for hockey. I mean, there's going to be 50 or 60 games televised next year on the network.
I saw 59.
Yeah, and there'll be a weekly show, a highlight show, and. You know, so you're right, Steve. You know, we'll be playing some Thursday, Friday, some Friday, Saturday, some Saturday, Sunday, some Sunday, Monday, actually. And matter of fact, we're getting a glimpse of that in a couple of weeks when we go out to Madison to play Wisconsin. We're playing them on a Sunday, Monday, and the Monday game will be the one that's on the Big Ten Network live. And so while most hockey traditionalists are used to the Friday, Saturday, you know, you play the same team back to back. That's going to change, and there might even be some instances where, you know, we're going to play a Friday night game against Ohio State at home mm-hmm. and then play at Ohio State on Sunday. Right. And it is certainly being driven by the network, which, hey, that's okay. They pay the bills.
And they pay a lot of bills. The next part of this is that there will be six conference teams. We know the expansion is happening with Rutgers, Maryland, but they're not hockey teams. Are there any other schools within the Big Ten that have shown an interest? Eight's an ideal number. Mm-hmm. Beyond eight is a little dicey, right. But eight's an ideal number. Is there any interest anywhere else, or is there a wait-and-see attitude as to see how six works, and
well,
then maybe we'll jump in?
I think every one of them is in the boat that we were in, and that's, you know, unless you can find a large private gift, right. It's all going to just be talk.
And numbers to match it. That's an honest.
It is. You're right. Well, and we lived that. I mean, it, you know, that was certainly one of the challenges to us. It wasn't that you could just add men's hockey. You had to have another sport to go along because of Title IX, and it is what it is. And you know, we had the budget issues, we had the arena issues, and obviously the magnificent gift we got from the Pegulas took care of both of those things.
Right. Sure.
Now, having said that, there aren't a lot of, you know, Ralph Engel stats. For people that don't know, he gave $110 million for just the building at North Dakota.
Right.
And that was 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
Right.
You know, there aren't a lot of, you know, the T. Boone Pickens type people out there.
Sure.
And the Phil Knight. So now we do know that at least one school in the Big Ten has maybe not a Terry Pegula, but a couple of people that might be combined. And they've done their feasibility studies. You know, I still say it's a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly enough, some, you know, inquiries from people down in the Maryland area. They want to at least explore the possibility of a lot of hockey down that way.
Yes,
a lot
is.
Of people with money down that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the Capitals did try very hard to get us to come down and play a game in Verizon Center this
right,
year.
Sure.
It just didn't work out. You know, we had to play a few games at home.
Right, sure.
Even though they were in Greenburg, which, you know, it's kind of sad in a sense, Steve, you know, because you've been around that place a lot as well. And you are.
We had a lot
more hair on our head. And,
and it was darker.
Yeah, and so, you know, we know February 16th will be the last time we play a hockey game there. It's going to be a little bittersweet because it's been good to us. I mean, place is 32 years old, and, you know, knock on wood, it's got to last us a couple, you know, 7 more months till we open up Pegula. Yeah. But a lot of great memories for those of us that have been fighting the battle for, you know, getting hockey to the varsity level. And you know, but, you know, it's time. We're ready. It's time to get on that big stage.
I know you talk about fighting the battle to get to the varsity level. But, I mean, again, because it goes back to Title IX, there's a lot of things that you have to do to make it right. Well, in the end, it turned out right.
Yes.
And that's the important part, is it turned out right. There's a great women's program being established here. Men's programs are right. And a beautiful building. I want to talk budget for a second. How much have you budgeted based on when I drive by a University Drive for Windex?
I'm hoping it's one of these new technologically advanced plate glass features that cleans itself. No, it's beautiful, though, isn't it? It is.
I've never been in it, so I haven't been in it yet.
Hey, you let me know when you guys want to come over and see an inside view of that. But it's the,
you
know,
think? We have to... Maybe we got to do a show over there.
Oh, I think it'd be fantastic. You know, well, we got to wear hard hats. I do in here anyway.
Put on your earmuffs because it's pretty loud in there with all the banging and clanging.
Well, we could go one day and then report back.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, it is. You people, again, are driving by it and saying, wow, it's really coming along. But, you know, until you've actually gone inside and seen how much progress they really have made on the inside. And it'll be about a month, and we'll be putting the floor in, which is pretty amazing process because it's a continuous pour of cement.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start it, you're going, and you better have your stuff together.
Yeah.
And they're digging the trenches right now for all the mechanical, the subsoil heating system and headers for the ice plant. It's going to be phenomenal, Steve. You know, you're going to be able to be sitting in a restaurant looking down into the community ice rink so parents can drop their kids off and go upstairs and have a coffee and have a bowl
have
soup.
Have a Tim Hortons. I like Tim Hortons.
Did you say that?
Yes, I did. Then,
okay. So, anyway.
I'm just saying I like Tim Hortons. I didn't say there was one in the area. I'm just saying I like it. I've had it before. I've, you know, when you travel baseball, there are some Tim Hortons along the way.
And they do tend to be in hockey arenas.
A lot of them have to be. I see them on the boards everywhere.
Yeah. Including Greenburg.
Yeah.
We sell Tim Hortons coffee in Greenburg right now.
Very nice.
So, but at any rate, it's going to be just, not just about these two teams, but it's a gift to the whole community, yep. And it's going to be active. It's going to be a lot of fun.
When do they plan on packages for tickets for Pergola? What is the timetable for that? Because it turned out somebody asked us on the show the other day about that.
Yeah, you can actually put a deposit down. We've kind of done a soft opening. We haven't really made the big push for tickets, and I think we're closing in on 1,500 deposits that have been made for season tickets. There's 1,000 student tickets, and those won't go on sale until September. So that leaves 5,000 seats that, you know, and our hope is to at least draw 3,000 to 3,500 season tickets. And, you know, that's our goal in the first year. But we also have 14 suites to sell. We've got 600 club seats to sell. We've got 80 loge box seats to sell. And all of them come with different amenities. There are different price points. We think that the hockey fan, the college sports fan, is going to have lots of choices, both with from a price standpoint and an amenity standpoint. Some of them, you know, when you get into the premium seats, you're talking parking will come with them, in-seat food service, things of that nature. But for the big push to be coming here shortly, and the
which means
selection,
a return to the show.
So it's coming quickly.
Yeah.
So
it's an exciting time. I think one of the important factors is that the enthusiasm of the Pagulas themselves, seeing it come to fruition. When I've talked to Terry, he's more excited now than when he gave the money.
Yeah. Well, he's just, I'll get a text from him just saying, wow, did we really just do that? You know, and it's frustrating for him because, again, the NHL, you know, came out of the lockout right as we played
Vermont, at Wells Fargo, same day.
The Penguins, and a lot of people don't realize this. They think the people came to the Penguin Flyer game and just stayed.
No, that's not true.
They emptied that arena.
It's two admissions.
And I got to tell you, hats off to their staff, how they pulled that off in the parking lots. And, you know, I mean, it was amazing. It really was. And just a fun environment to be in. And then winning the game was just the icing on the cake.
One thing in the college hockey that fans may not realize, ice is not standardized. You would put in a standard NHL 200 by 85 rink.
Yes.
Most rinks are 200 by 85. But when you play at Wisconsin, for example, I think they're 200 by 100, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, they in Minnesota have the Olympic size sheets, and it, dynamics of the game. And, you know, people had asked us, you know, were we going to make one or the other sheet? And it was Terry's wish that, look, you know, our goal is to attract potential NHL hockey players, AHL hockey players. Let's make this as, you know, much place for, you know, those kids to hone their skills to go on to play.
Well, there's been some talk that Wisconsin's going to change Cole a little bit and make it 200 by 85, so we'll see.
Add more seats.
Well, no, that's part. I think after a while, you know, you have to. I mean, hockey is not like Major League Baseball, okay? I mean, it used to be. The Boston Garden had shorter.
Right.
I mean, I think it was 187 by 85, which meant center ice was.
There was no neutral.
You know, there was one less stride for Orr.
But hopefully we can find a few Bobby Orrs that come in play soon.
You know what I find interesting? Is everyone's talking about how Colin Kaepernick and RG3 are changing football, the read option. You have to have a certain individual. Bobby Orr changed the game of hockey. But you know what? He's the last Bobby Orr. Paul Coffey was very good, but was not the defenseman Orr was.
Right.
Brad Park was fine. Dennis Potvin was fine. But there was only one Orr. So I think sometimes you need a history lesson as to moments that change the game.
Yep. And you are a hockey fan. I know that.
Well, how many names did I just rattle off there? Well, that's a sore subject. I'm going to be in Whaler Country on Wednesday. So, look forward to having you back. This has been, as we said, the two single most exciting stories we've seen in the winter have been a program in the last 5 weeks in its infancy, exciting all of us, and then tonight the establishment that is the dominant March to the Sea group.
They're
it's
just
something else, aren't they?
What everybody aspires to be. So,
well, you're going to get there. Yeah. And it's you know what? It's fun that all of us get to see this on the ground floor, because in 10 years, we're going to say, look at this. Oh. Joe, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Joe Bautista. I know Kevin's been going through all these scenarios as to, you know, how the coin toss could turn out. We wanted to talk about some serious issues. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Super Bowl weekend, you have all those annoying people around that really don't want, you know, barely watch football and talk about things like halftime and things like that. You know, really, you know, make it more exciting for yourself. Go to Brewers Outlet, get all the beverages you can find, and at the same time, make sure you have all the snacks you can find, plus the pickle bar. Next half hour, we go to Coralville, Iowa. Talk with Jeff Byers about the showdown between Iowa, Penn State, and wrestling. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, we head to the top of the hour, then off to Coralville, Iowa, where tonight the Nittany Lion wrestling team, ranked number one, will take on third-ranked Iowa Carver Hawkeye in Iowa City. We'll talk to Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, in the next half hour to break it down for you. And then...